Good morning and happy Sabbath. Who's had a very busy week like I did? Yeah, it seems like everything just fell like just crazy. I know Pearl mentioned this morning. I'm like, yes, I had the same feeling this week. And it's great to be here. And I see a few faces I haven't seen for a long time. I know I've been away and most probably you guys been away. But it's great to see you all again. And everyone's smiling and still awake, so hopefully you do stay awake. So I know it's been a busy morning so far. It's a few things we had to go through, but thank you for your patience. And it's great to be here this morning. So this morning I want to talk about, where is your name written? And thank you, Leah, for the children's story. And I just look at him like, I can't wait for that day when we walk through those pearly gates, right? And I hope each one of us will be there. But this morning I want to start is, because I've been away as well. And so over December, I had the opportunity to go back to where our family is from, or my dad's side is from. And that's from Italy. So my dad's from Rome. And we took our family, took my kids there to show them my part of the family. Is very small, but I took them there to show that. But if you think of Italy, what's the first thing that came to your mind? Okay, I heard it. I heard it on that side. Spaghetti. Okay, spaghetti? No, it was something else.
Pizza.
Pizza, yes. So it's like the country of pizza, isn't it? And yes, we had pizza. So it's when you think of Italy, you think of pizza. And we had pizza. So the kids even have a Love Heart pizza. There's all different kinds of pizza. So that's some of the pizzas we had. I had to take photos of them to remind me of how good it was. But even the bad pizza there is still a good pizza. So it's like you can't get a bad pizza. It's pretty good. So, and that was a really fascinating pizza. So that's a deep fried pizza. And you can only get it in Naples. So we had to try it. So that's like a street food pizza. The other pizza is quite fascinating, and that's like your to-go pizza. You don't order it. You walk into the shop, and it's all pre-made, sitting out in a counter on a bench, and you go, okay, I want that pizza, and then he says, how big? And then he goes with his scissors, and then he cuts how big piece you want, and then they weigh it. So they weigh the pizza, and then you eat, or then you pay according to that weight of the pizza. And it's sort of like straight away go. It is a different kind because it's like the normal round pizzas are really thin and floppy, where these ones are like a focaccia. It's a bit more of a harder type of bread. I really like those. It's one of my favorite pizzas. But it's one thing, if you were to walk around in Italy, you'll notice something, and I'll put it up there. So that's all the different regions. And you might see a name that's up there, and you might think, I've put it in there. If you were to go to Google Maps, you'll actually see it there. And it's the same name that's in the bulletin today. And it's right, if you know where Rome is, you'll find it. And it's the name Lazio. So it's quite fascinating because if you walk around, you might be able to walk in the street. And I took that's a screenshot of Google Maps. It's a pin drop in Via Lazio. There's a screenshot as well. So on the wall, it's Via Lazio. And the street is called Via Lazio. But as you walk around, you might see it on buildings as well. It says Region Lazio. And even on milk. So yes, 100% milk from Lazio. It's even eggs from Lazio. So wherever you go, you'll see the name Lazio. But it's not just the region. So usually if a region, so if you've got, I'm in Perth, boy kind of thing, so that's where I grew up. It's the Perth Scorchers, or you've got the West Coast Eagles. They're connected to that region, right? The soccer teams or the football teams. You've got the name Lazio is actually a football team as well because it's connected to that region. Okay, so those who are into sport might recognize it. But because it is now connected to a football team, you'll see my name on jackets, on shirts, on name it. It's on like so many things. There's even a store. So I went to the Lazio store as well, and there you can see as well, so it's the official Lazio store, Lazio style. I had to take a photo next to it as well. My brother made a joke and says, you should put your signature on there, but it's all the football, all the soccer players. But it's quite interesting because you would walk around and you will even find graffiti with my name on the walls. And that actually says Lazio is the jewel of Rome. Some of them are not that nice, so they will say different things, but yeah, that's one of the signs I've seen around. But it made me think, where is your name written? On what is your name written? I know, like, if we were to look at our filing and things like that, it's like you go to Service New South Wales, right? You've got your license, your name is on there, right? Remember the old telephone books, the big telephone books, and you go through it and you find the person's name, you look for the name, is your name written in that telephone book? Maybe it's on a speeding fine. You don't want your name written on certain documents, is that correct? Yeah, so not everywhere you want your name. So the question is, where are our names recorded? And I invite you to go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. If you've got your Bibles, we'll go through a few verses this morning. So Luke chapter 10, verse 20. And Luke 10, verse 20 says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are not subject to you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written where? In heaven. Okay, in Philippians says a similar thing. If you go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, so Philippians chapter 4, verse 3 says, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who are labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are written where? In the book of life. And we get the same thing happening in Daniel. So if you were to quickly flick over to Daniel. Daniel chapter 12 verse 1. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who shall watch over his sons of our people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Who will be delivered? Everyone who is found written in the book. And that's, if I were to go back to Revelation, because Daniel talks about it in the future things, but let's have a look at Revelation. So Revelation looks at it closely in Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Verse 27. But there shall be no means enter in it anything. So that's talking about heaven. Enter it that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So exactly what we heard in our children's story this morning, right? It's like, who would be able to enter into heaven? Only those who has their name written in the book of life, in God's records. So the Bible talks about our names being recorded in these books. Is your name written in that book? Because if it's not written in that book, can we enter into the kingdom of God? No, we cannot. So I really think it's important that our names are written in that book. Because if your name is not written there, you cannot enter into God's kingdom. It's like you were to go to a wedding or to this important event, and there's someone at the door, right? And he's got this whole list, and he says, name, and he goes through that list and finds your name. If your name's not on that list, you cannot enter into that event. But the Bible also talks about the book of remembrance. Our deeds, Our good deeds are recorded somewhere as well. A book of remembrance is written before God in which are recorded the good deeds. Malachi, go to Malachi, because Malachi talks about it. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. So Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and who meditated on his name." Nehemiah picks up the same theme. So if you go to Nehemiah, so Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 14. So Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 14. "Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and do not wipe out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for its service." So in a book of God's remembrance, our everyday deeds of righteousness is immortalized. There, every temptation that is resisted, every evil that is overcome, every word of tender pity expressed is faithfully recorded. And every act of service, every suffering and sorrow endured for Christ's sake is recorded. Our works show who we are. It shows what our characters are, who we're loyal to, who we behold, we become. It was brought out in our lesson study. I'm not sure if the other group brought it out, but brought out in our lesson study is you've got water. And I'll fill this bucket with water. And if I were to put this sponge into this water, it will fill up with the water, right? And if I were to take this sponge then and squeeze it, what comes out? Water. So what we fill our lives with, if we were to fill it with Jesus and life would squeeze us, what should come out? Jesus. If something else comes out, what are we filled then with? Ever thought about it? So fill your lives with Jesus. Because when life does squeeze you, Jesus needs to come out. Our character shows who we are. Our works show who we are. Because the Bible also talks about that we will be judged by our works. Why? Because our works reflects our character, reflects who we are. And we can see this in Revelation 20. So if you go to Revelation 20, verse 12. Revelation 20, verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." So what's happening here? Everyone is standing before God. And the books are opened. We are judged according to those things written up in those books. Turn to Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14. And it reads, "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Will we be able to hide anything? Everything is being recorded. Matthew mentions that as well. So if you go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Everything we do is recorded. I don't know about you, but I found it a bit scary. It's like having a camera sitting right on top of you, recording everything you do. And not just that, every thought that goes through your mind gets recorded. Because there are things in my life which I'm ashamed of. Things I have done which I don't want other people to know. But those things are recorded. Imagine if your life would be portrayed in front of everyone and everyone can see the things you have done, the things you were thinking of. Imagine that. I found it scary. Every man's work passes in review before God and is registered for faithfulness or unfaithfulness. Opposite each name in a book of heaven is entered with terrible exactness. Every wrong word, every selfish act, every unfaithful duty, and every secret sin. With every artful dissembling, heaven sent warnings of reproof, neglected wasted moments, unimproved opportunities, the influence exerted for good or for evil, with its far-reaching results, all are chronicled by the recording angel. And that's from Christ in His Sanctuary. Is that good news? Yeah? It's like, who has not done anything wrong? Right? I don't see any hands, right? We've all done something wrong. We've all done something. Imagine like someone were to take and write a book and we go through it and we read like we read about David. Reading all about the sins, all the wrongs he's done. Imagine if someone was writing that now about us. But you might say, but wait. The Bible does have good news about these sins, right? All about these wrong things we've done. What does the Bible say? 1 John verse 1 verse 9. Anyone know that off by heart? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So will these sins stand against us forever? In the great day of the final award, the dead are to be judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Then by virtue of the anointing blood of Christ, the sins of all the truly penitent will be blotted from the books of heaven. Thus the sanctuary will be freed or cleansed from the record of sins. In the type, this great work of atonement or blotting out of sins was represented by the service of the Day of Atonement, the cleansing of the earthly sanctuary, which was accomplished by the removal, by virtue of the blood of the sin offering, of the sins by which it had been polluted. Thus, in the ministration of the tabernacle and of the temple that afterward took its place, the people were taught each day the great truths related to Christ's death and ministration. And once each year, their minds were carried forward to the closing events of the great controversy between Christ and Satan, the final purification of the universe from sin and sinners. And that's taken from Patriarchs and Prophets. I think that's a good summary of what's happening. A good summary of where the sanctuary fits in. The good news is that if we confess our sins and take them to Jesus, that they are forgiven. So our sins are forgiven. But when are they blotted out? Ever thought about that? For 18 centuries, the work of ministration continued in the first apartment of the sanctuary. The blood of Christ pleaded in behalf of the penitent believers, secured their pardon and acceptance with their Father. Yet their sins still remained upon the books of record. And that's from Great Controversy. So we believe that Christ rose up, went into heaven, into the sanctuary, into the holy place. What happened in 1844, we believe, according to Scripture? God went into the most holy place. The Day of Atonement started. Here's what the Bible commentaries say about it. Some men's sins are open beforehand, confessed in their penitence and forsaken, and they go beforehand to judgment. Pardon is written over against their names of these men, but other men's sin follow after and not put away by repentance and confession, and these sins will stand registered against them in the books of heaven. Our sins are written down. But what's written against them? If you confess your sins, if you bring them to Christ, and if you ask for forgiveness, pardon is written there, right? Amen. But it's only the sins we confess. It's only the sins we bring to Him. At that time, appointed for the judgment, the close of the 2,300 days in 1844 began the work of investigation and blotting out of sins. All who have ever taken upon themselves the name of Christ must pass its searching scrutiny. Both the living and the dead are to be judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. It's reference the 2,300-year prophecy. And if we study the Bible, if we study His prophecies, we can see that our sins are recorded, but there is a blotting out of sins. When we study the sanctuary service, we can see there's a day of an atonement when the sanctuary will be cleansed, the blotting out of sins. So in a typical sanctuary service, whose sins were transferred into the sanctuary? The sinner. But only those ones who brought their sins and confessed them. If you did not bring them, can they go in? They can't. It remains outside. So it's only those who bring their sins, that confess, can have part in a Day of Atonement. The sanctuary and the lamb offering was a symbol of what Christ has done and will do. So in that great day of the final atonement and investigation judgment, the only cases considered are those who are professed people of God. The judgment of the wicked is a distinct and separate work that will take place at a later stage. 1 Peter 4 verse 17 says, "For the time is come that the judgment must begin at the house of God." It begins with us first, with those who confess. Quickly go to Leviticus. Leviticus 16. 16 verse 29 and 30. "This shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do not work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. So only those who confess, who take their sins to the Lamb, to confess it on the Lamb, to take it and kill the Lamb with that blood that was taken into the sanctuary for the atonement. It's only those people who can claim those verses. Christ has died as the Lamb, and His blood covers our unrighteousness. But part of that, the Bible talks about, I will give you a new name. Because we've corrupted our current names. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah 62 verse 2 says, the Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. So what is this new name? What is the name? Revelation 3 verse 12. Revelation 3 verse 12 says, He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. So what name is written on us? God will write His name on us. It is God's name that is written on us. So we are representing who? God. If His name is on us, we are represented by He's represented by us. It's like my surname is Crescentini. I represent my family. So when you see my family, see the name, you know who we're talking about. And it's the same with Christ. We are ambassadors. We are to represent God. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What is an ambassador? So someone that's representing a higher authority, right? He represents, ambassador will represent his country in a foreign country. He's living in a foreign land. He doesn't live in his homeland. He delivers a message from the sending authority. It is not your opinion. You've got to say and represent what your home country, the ambassador you are for, stands. Conduct themselves with honor. We've got to face opposition and challenges. And many times it's alone. You are standing representing that country. When people look at us, when people see us, do they see Jesus? Do they get a glimpse of Jesus? Like I mentioned with the sponge, if things start to squeeze us, what's coming out? Are we an ambassador of the heavenly kingdom? Go to Ezekiel. And we can see here where Israel was the ambassador for Christ. Ezekiel 36, verse 20. So Ezekiel 36, in verse 20, when they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my name when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. What did Israel do? Were they a good ambassador? No. They profaned his name. Are we just like the Israelites? When I say I'm a Christian, am I doing what the Israelites are doing? Saying one thing but representing something else? We need to represent Christ. I had one of my work colleagues once say, and this is not in church land, this was before church land. I said something, and he looked at me and he says, "But you're a Christian. You can't say that." It struck me, like straight away. People are looking at us, noticing everything we do. I'm like, "But you can say that. Why can't I say it?" Like, you know, they're quick to show it to us, that who are we representing? Are we really saying we are a Christian and mean it? But I want to remind you of that good news, that our sins will be blotted out. Ezekiel 36, verse 25, because the story didn't end there. A few verses on, in verse 35, it said, 25. "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Amen. Who's going to do that? "I will put my spirit within you," verse 27, "and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." What a risk is God not taking? A risk He's given, prepared for us to represent Him, to be His ambassadors. God wants us to be His representatives. God's allowing us to do that work. I've mentioned it before. Our church is an embassy. It's an embassy of the outpost of one kingdom within another kingdom. It's an outpost of the heavenly kingdom, right? In this world. Our embassy is considered foreign soil, meaning it operates under the jurisdictions and the laws of the home country of the heavenly kingdom. And if you were to enter an embassy, you will notice that they dress the way their home country dress. They talk the way their home country talks. They eat the cuisine of their home country. Are we representing the heavenly kingdom? Our church is the embassy. We talked about it in our Sabbath schools. Robin, I think you mentioned, right? So we can start living for heaven now. This is the embassy. It starts here. It's not something for a future. Our walk starts with God on earth. We need to reflect His character. Can we fix our lives ourselves? Is it us that can do it? What did God say? "I will put these things in your life." Because I believe if we were to do it, we'll just make a mess. Right? My own strength is worthless. And Pastor said, what is our text for this year? Anyone know? What's our text for this year? Zechariah 4 verse 6. "So he answered and he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" So it's not by my power, not by my might, but only way we can do it is by His Spirit. Is your name written in a book of life? Have you surrendered everything to God? Because we cannot hide anything. We saw it in Scripture. We cannot hide anything. If we do not confess our sins, we cannot receive that atonement for our sins. And someone told me once as well, we cannot just pray, Lord, forgive my sins. We need to be specific. We need to examine ourselves, name them, go through your day, bring those things to Christ. Because if we don't bring it, we don't name it, we cannot get that forgiveness. Jesus has given us the tool. He's given us the power to do it. It's through Him that we can do that. Where are our names recorded? What is recorded against our names? Are the words forgiven, pardoned, written next to every wrong thing we have done? Jesus knocks at our door, knocks at our heart. He wants to come in. It's like, imagine your house. I come to your house, I knock on your door, and you invite me in. Where would I be? In your lounge? I don't know. Picture that. Maybe you've opened your door to Christ, and you've let Him in, but He's in the lounge, right? But there might be other rooms in your house. A room that you make sure that door is shut if a visitor comes to visit, right? Maybe the room's a mess. Maybe there's some things in that room you don't want others to see. Is that the same with our hearts? That we have some doors shut. We don't want others to see behind that door. But this morning, I want to say Jesus is knocking on every door in our house. Every door in your heart. He wants to come in to those rooms. To that room that is a mess. Why? Because He wants to make that bed with you. He wants to help you clean that room and get rid of those things. That's what He's there for. Not to judge what you've done, but to help you from that. To give you the power by His Spirit. Just like that sponge. Let us soak up Jesus. Let our lives be filled with Him. So when we get squeezed, it is Jesus that will come out. And that's my prayer this morning. Where is your name written? May God be with us as we go through these times. I invite you all to stand as we sing. Call upon a yonder. When the roll is called up yonder. So when the roll is called up yonder, is our names written on that roll? Think about His words when we sing them. Where is our name written? Our Father is in heaven. Thank You that we can open Your word this morning. We can see that there are books in heaven where our names are written. But we can also see that if we bring our sins to You and confess, that next to our names are written, pardon. And that we can have part in that day of atonement, in that service where You will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because we are covered by Your blood. It's not through our power, not through our strength, but through Your Spirit. And it's my prayer this morning that each one of us who are standing here, that when that roll is called upon yonder, that we are standing there, that our names will be writ to enter into the kingdom, to be with You. What a glorious day that will be. But as we work, as we go on through this daily lives, through our work here on earth, I ask that You bless each one of us. Let us continue to be an ambassador for You, to represent Your name to all these kingdoms of this world. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.